This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Welcome to the Insight Podcast. I'm Chris Forbes, your host. Today, we're talking with Ed Arelko from the International Mission Board. We're going to be talking about the importance of international missions and how it's the extension of our churches and some of the things that IMB is doing in our churches by extension in various parts of the world. Thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Well, we've had a good day today. We've had a chance to go down and see Falls Creek. It was your first time to see Falls Creek.
Awesome place.
Yeah. It was great. I love going to Falls Creek and letting people see it for the first time. It's a special place. It's a spiritual place. It's also a place where a lot of people, you know, sense the Lord's calling to missions. And we've sent so many missionaries, you know, with the IMB who say, you know, Falls Creek was instrumental in there and the Lord helping them identify their calling. So appreciate you coming out to see that and participating. In the car we were driving, you're talking about something that really just resonated with me, and I think our pastors and other listeners are going to, like, the number one problem in the world today.
Yeah. So at the IMB, we believe that the number one problem in the world is lostness. The world has a lot of problems. We acknowledge that hunger and famine is a problem. Mm-hmm. Access to clean water is a problem. There are a myriad of problems out there in the world. And all of the problems that are out there that exist are temporal problems. They're bound to this earth. They're horrible and they have consequences. Yeah. But lostness is the biggest problem in the world, because it's the only problem that has an eternal consequence. And as I shared with you, we believe strongly in compassion ministry. It's why the IMB and NAM partnered together to create Send Relief, mm-hmm. which is a way for Southern Baptists to participate in compassion ministry.
Yeah.
But it's always followed up with gospel proclamation. So we believe that lostness is the problem that we should be first and foremost tasked with trying to make a dent into, because you can bring clean water to someone and the next day, if they dehydrated, but apart from God,
right.
they spend an eternity apart from God. So we want to be people that not only provide things like clean water and food, but we want to provide them with living water and mm-hmm. the bread of life.
Right.
And so that's why we're firmly convinced the greatest problem in the world is lostness. And it's a problem with one solution. And that's the gospel.
Right.
That's the solution to lostness. And at the IMB, and particularly for Southern Baptists, the way to get the gospel to the lost is through missionary presence, following a biblical model mm-hmm, where mm-hmm. we believe that it is vitally important to send people out to go live amongst the unreached and unengaged peoples of the globe. It's the Revelation 7:9. Call mm-hmm. to us that we will reach these people with the gospel. But that mm-hmm. requires living in their communities, living among them, learning their languages, being part of their lives in order to share the gospel in a way that follows more of a biblically faithful model. And so that's why it's the greatest problem in the world.
Absolutely. And you know, that's the model. The incarnational model is the model of missions that has made, it's kind of the hallmark of the International Mission Board. And we have, how many missionaries do we have right now on the field? Do you have that number off the top of your head? Or
I think it's roughly 3,700 missionary units out on the field currently.
Yeah, and that's amazing. You think about, I mean, we won't go into names, but you can't name a hotspot or a location where there aren't missionaries nearby or living around the world. And maybe we can talk a little bit about, like, it's like recent news out, you know, in the Ukraine and Poland area. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, like you know, how IMB has been able to engage during this crisis?
Well, I definitely want to articulate this well. It's not just the IMB. The IMB represents Southern Baptist missionary work. Yeah. So we are the missional extension of local churches. We're the missional extension of local associations and state associations. So when we talk about certain things that the IMB does,
right.
I want people to remember it's because of the faithfulness of Southern Baptists, and it's what Southern Baptists are doing. So a great example of why missionary presence, and that's so if the problem's lostness and the solution's the gospel, you've got to connect the lost with the gospel. And we do that right. through missionary presence. And that means people leaving and going and spending more than just 2 weeks. These aren't short-term mission trips.
Right.
Those are important. Those help yeah. whet the appetite and stir the heart for missions. But what we believe in is missionary presence. And so if you look at Eastern Europe and, you know, even before probably the fall of the Berlin Wall, but definitely after the fall of the Berlin Wall, yeah. Southern Baptists went and started living amongst people in the Ukraine, mm-hmm. Romania, Moldova, all the surrounding areas. Our missionaries went out and served. And they did this for decades and decades. If you look at, you know, starting in the late 80s, 90s, 2000s, mm-hmm. up to today, they built relationships. They built networks. They planted churches. They had an immediate harvest and people heard the gospel, people were saved, movements were birthed out of it, but relationships were also established. And so with this recent war that's happening there and just the massive, large-scale humanitarian crisis, I mean, yeah. this is an unprecedented land war for our generation. There's nothing like it. I mean, entire towns and villages are being leveled and razed, and there's a horrible, horrible humanitarian crisis. And Southern Baptists can rest assured that from day one, we had people there ready to start serving and meeting needs. Mm-hmm. And not only were they able to provide cots and blankets and bedding and clothing and food and water, they were there to share the gospel because they had learned the languages.
Right.
They had lived amongst the people.
Right.
They could help. And so when Southern Baptist disaster relief teams started showing up, when Send Relief started spinning up all the work that we do together as Send Relief, mm-hmm. we were able to start with a network already established. All these other aid and relief organizations, when they come in, a lot of times they have to piggyback on someone else's network or they have to get something established. And that can be a little bit of a logjam. Mm-hmm. And I think what you see with Southern Baptists is because of our global footprint and our presence and what IMB missionaries have faithfully done for decades, we were able to hit the ground running.
Yeah.
And to date, I think now we have over 25 or 30 active projects going on out of Send Relief. Mm. There we have hosted numerous disaster relief teams. They're providing the food and the water, but they're also doing innovative evangelistic strategies. They're using coffee tents and places where people can charge their devices. And they have QR codes, and those QR codes take them to a website that's mobile friendly, and it walks them through the gospel in their language. And these are people who their lives have been utterly uprooted. And that goes for some of the missionaries as well. We had people whose lives were uprooted, and they're still faithfully serving. And I think I shared with you on our drive down to Falls Creek that what we're able to do is because of the generations of generosity that Southern Baptists represent. When mm-hmm. money is given through the cooperative program, that money flows to ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And those funds from the cooperative program and our other offerings like Lottie Moon,
mm-hmm.
those funds go to the field and mm-hmm. they allow us to send people to the lost with the gospel, to start building relationships, planting the gospel seed, watering it, and harvesting it.
You know, it kind of reminds me of how, like, in Oklahoma, you know, if a tornado hits in one of our communities and Oklahoma Baptist Disaster Relief responds, they're not strangers, and those churches are there located. You know, so the church becomes the hub for the response. And, you know, like after the TV trucks are gone, those ministries are still there. Those international missionaries are still there. The people that they disciple, the pastors that have been equipped and trained are there ready to respond. I'm sure lots of Oklahomans can think of someone in the Ukraine or Poland or somewhere. They know, because we have a lot of missionaries, they mm-hmm. know that someone was there.
Yeah.
So nobody woke up, you know, or like Christmas or November and thought, you know, we're going to have a war in the Ukraine in the next quarter. And it happened. And the good thing was we were already there because of the consistent support.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we need more of that. So one of the things, and I always like to say this when I can say it honestly, and here I can, I think, as you all know, Oklahoma represents one of the more generous states to foreign missions work.
Mm-hmm.
It also represents, it's one of our top states for sending people
Absolutely.
To the mission field. So we're greatly appreciative of the investment that Oklahomans and that associations and churches have made. And we get an outsized number of missionaries coming from Oklahoma, and they go to these places. And if you think of the communities we live in and who our friends are, they're the people that we live near. They're the people that we fellowship with. For missionaries, this hit really close to home, what happened in the Ukraine, because these were their friends. You know, they've lived there 10, 15 years for some of our, maybe more for some of our mm-hmm. units. And they're watching their friends' lives uprooted.
Mm-hmm.
So for them, it is second nature to immediately start helping and serving and, you know, calling in the extra help stateside that we're sending. So it's really beautiful to watch in the midst of tragedy. We all know that God uses these tragic circumstances sometimes to open hearts and soften hearts to the gospel. And we are seeing that. We are seeing a massive number of people coming to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through some of these evangelistic strategies as part of the compassion ministry.
Yeah.
We're also seeing hearts soften. We're seeing a lot of tragedy as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm.
But we're grateful for the missionaries, especially those from this area that are faithfully serving.
Amen. Amen. So one of the things I've heard you say is we go back to the idea of the COPPA program and mm-hmm. how it extends the church's ministry. There's almost kind of a misnomer or a mistaken notion that, you know, Lottie Moon is field money and then the COPPA program is administrative money. But really, COPPA program is field money. It is missions.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a myth or a misnomer. And people tend to think of cooperative program giving as what, for any entity, not just the IMB, as what keeps the lights on or what allows a building to function or what pays for salaries. Does it do all those things? Absolutely. But because of the magnitude of giving that Southern Baptists are known for, I mean, we wish the public knew that we were known for generosity, but the numbers show we are a generous people. I'm going to digress here for a minute, but mm-hmm. a lot of stats have shown that Southern Baptists are amongst the most giving people, period, even to non-Southern Baptist ministries.
Yes.
So we support a lot of people. So the cooperative program, back on track with that, at the IMB, we only use a part of that to cover. We're a lean organization. We actually, we send most of the money that comes in, whether it's cooperative program and 100% of Lottie Moon, we send overseas, but a large portion of cooperative program money is used for direct gospel work amongst the lost. And people don't understand that. And I think there's a lot of other ministries out there where if they really knew what CP was funding,
yeah.
we talked about it earlier, the precursor to cooperative program work and in some of the Baptist history books, the earliest collective offerings where multiple churches would band together
mm-hmm.
and they would share the offerings that they had just taken in their individual churches were to send people to the nations, mm-hmm. specifically to China and Brazil. Southern Baptists were cooperating, didn't have a title back then, but they were pulling their resources and acting synergistically in the 1800s. This is not a modern phenomenon. We are a generous people, and we're a generous denomination, and I wish the rest of the world knew and appreciated that, because I do.
Yeah, cooperation is not a program, it's a paradigm. Mm-hmm. We're working together, we're serving together, and the good thing about the cooperative program, and I say this all the time, is that it's the one thing that we can all do that supports everything that we do. So when your church gives through the cooperative program, you're engaged in ministry in the Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Now, there's definitely opportunities to respond over and above, of course, the designated offering like Lottie Moon, but then also Send Relief and these other opportunities that you have. But it gets all down to cooperation, and it gets all down to advancing the gospel.
Yeah.
And we, you know, Oklahoma, we talk about advancing the gospel together. And, you know, IMB's theme now is together. Mm-hmm. What are some other things that we need to know about IMB? Some other things that we don't talk about.
Yeah, I think this is an exciting era for the IMB. We're in growth mode, and that may come as a surprise to some who knew there was a season where giving in general to the cooperative program and Lottie Moon, it hadn't kept up with inflation. So when that happens and your expenses start to grow faster than your income, you have to do things about that. And so there were, in the prior decades, there were some times where the IMB had to shrink a little bit in order to keep on mission. We're in growth mode again. We are seeing tremendous growth. We actually now can afford to send more missionaries to the field than ever before. So a lot of people have heard about our strategic objectives. We have five different things we're working towards for 2025. And one of those is sending a cumulative increase of 500 missionary units by 2025. So every year, of course, we have attrition, we have retirements, we have people coming off for medical reasons. So we're always going to have that sort of turnover and churn, but we are committed to adding above and beyond that an additional 500 units by 2025. And we're working hard toward that. So we're recruiting. So for the churches and the pastors that hear this, we want you to stir the hearts of your people. We want you to let them know there is a place for them, no matter what their career and background. In fact, sometimes it's the people that do have very specific careers and backgrounds that have access to places, that can go overseas, that have context, they have a little bit of savviness to them that is going to help them navigate an international culture change. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the things I want people to know is we're growing, we're healthy, and that we're committed to local churches.
Amen.
You know, I've been in the role a year now, and I've watched and I've learned a lot. I'm no stranger to the SBC and the work that goes on and the concept of entities. And as I shared with you, we really want to be more than just an entity. And you hear this a lot from our president, Dr. Chitwood, because he worked in the local church. He was a state exec. Mm-hmm. We're the missional extension of what Southern Baptists do. We want to be the partner. We want to be the conduit to reaching the lost globally with the gospel. So I think the era that we're on, there's a level of excitement at the IMB that hasn't been there in a long time. And for me, it's just awesome to watch all of this unfold and to watch an organization grow, knowing that God has set a great commission before us and also a Revelation 7:9 vision that has yet to be achieved. Mm-hmm. And we want to work hard toward that.
I love that, local church. That's the Lord gave the Great Commission to the local church. And by the International Mission Board being an extension of that church's ministries, when we think about the Oklahomans that are on the field, they're representing, they're not IMB people, they're Oklahoma Baptist people. They're They're from our churches.
Yeah. Now, we would say they're IMB people, too.
Well, you know what I'm saying. I mean, they haven't left their church. They haven't, like, someone used to say that, you know, the International Mission Board is different. It's not a parachurch organization. It is an extension of the church. It's not outside the church. And all, even our support structures and everything. And then when the missionaries are on the field,
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. Visit us at baptistmessenger.com or your preferred podcast platform. Oklahoma Baptists, advancing the gospel together.